The CPA existed in a never-never land in Saddam's old palace complex, behind high walls in downtown Baghdad. There was a sharp disconnect between its cool, quiet green zone and the real world beyond the miles of tall concrete Jersey security barriers that ringed the zone. Some in the U.S. military called the CPA's slice of central Baghdad Oz. To many within the CPA, the rest of Iraq was the red zone. At first, life in the newly created American sector was rough. "We were working 120-hour weeks in Baghdad," recalled Hallenbeck. "It wasn't like we could go home on the weekends." Lacking rooms, he and his colleagues were sleeping on the palace lawn and living on MREs, the military subsistence-level packaged rations. In the middle of all this, Pentagon auditors appeared and asked to see his company's time cards. But within a few weeks, the quality of life improved notably in the zone. In sharp contrast to the rest of Iraq, where conditions generally were deteriorating. It was a 4-square-mile area that felt very different from the rest of Iraq, a novel mix of palm trees and third-rate Iraqi palaces, interspersed with Bradley fighting vehicles and a few bombed-out buildings. It was isolated from the city's giant traffic jams and shaded by many more trees than grew elsewhere in Baghdad. It also was attuned to different realities than prevailed beyond its blast walls. Inside the zone, the telephones had a 914 area code from New York's Westchester County, where the phone system was based. On one visit to the CPA's Office of Strategic Communications, all the televisions but one were tuned to Fox News. The zone was at the center of one of the most important cities in the Arab world. But inside CPA headquarters, the food resembled that of an American high school. Busy staffers would line up at lunchtime for paper plates of hot dogs and baked beans, and would wash them down with cold cans of Coca-Cola. Oddly, for being in a Muslim country, it seemed like 75% of the entrees were pork, or pork-based. Pork rings, pork chops, fish-shaped pork, I guess. Pork in our salads, pork stew, said Alex Dagan, who worked on a special non-proliferation project aimed at gainfully employing Iraqi weapons scientists. "I think Halliburton must have gotten a great deal on pork somewhere." Nighttime offered just a few choices: more work, exercise, or drinking. "Time off for me was going to the gym," recalled Larry Diamond, who worked for the CPA a few months later, when it was better established. The gym, he wrote, was a state-of-the-art facility with dozens of weight machines, free weights, floor mats, running machines, bikes, and elliptical trainers, packed almost constantly with sweating civilians and trim, muscular soldiers. Then there was alcohol. Eventually, the zone boasted 7 bars, including one for security contractors and another, more exclusive one, operated by the CIA called the Babylon. The biggest one was the disco at the Al Rashid Hotel, which was, Dakin said, mainly staffed with intoxicated security contractors. There were maybe 400 intoxicated men and 3 women in the middle of it. Nor were some of the zone's inhabitants much connected to the country they were ostensibly remaking. There was just a level of ignorance that was surprising, Hallenbeck said. There were maybe 7,000 people in the green zone, and very few spoke Arabic or ever got out. The isolation deepened as the security situation worsened in the summer and fall of 2003. "A lot of people in the green zone, in the bubble, never got out to speak with Iraqis," recalled Peter Khalil, an Australian who worked at the CPA on national security policy. "It was easier at first, but then a fortress mentality developed." This was the political effect of the rise of the insurgency. It was driving a wedge between the occupation authority and the Iraqi people.